Hi, Matt here. We're excited to celebrate a milestone. Think Fast, Talk Smart is approaching our 300th episode. To mark the occasion, I'll be hosting two free Ask Matt Anything events on June 3rd at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. Pacific. We'll run these on LinkedIn and YouTube, open to everyone around the globe. Before taking your questions, I'll share one of my favorite new communication structures for advancing ideas and arguments. Anyone joining can submit questions online during the event, and a few of our learning community members will have the opportunity to ask me their questions live on video. Don't miss this opportunity to be part of this live AMA on June 3rd. Be sure to sign up on LinkedIn, YouTube, or fastersmarter.io/live. Now a word from one of our sponsors. Their support covers the cost of production, allowing us to bring you quality content free of charge. Language isn't just about words. It's about connection, opportunity, and credibility. That's one reason I like Babbel. It focuses on real-world communication, not just vocabulary drills, but practical conversations you can actually use, whether that's collaborating internationally, traveling for work, or building relationships across cultures. The lessons are short, about 10 minutes, so they fit into busy schedules, and they're designed by more than 200 language experts with tools for listening, speaking, reading, and writing. It adapts to how you learn and helps you track real progress over time. For many of our listeners, whether you're strengthening English skills, adding another language for professional growth, or staying connected globally, it's a practical way to keep moving forward. Babbel has over 25 million subscriptions sold worldwide, offers 14 languages, and every course comes with a 14-day money-back guarantee. If you've ever thought about learning another language, this is a perfect opportunity to start. Right now, Babbel is offering up to 60% off your subscription at babbel.com/TFTS. That's Babbel, Babbel.com/TFTS for up to 60% off. Rules and restrictions apply. The effort you put in terms of practice and preparation, have a huge impact on the quality of your communication. My name is Matt Abrahams, and I teach strategic communication at Stanford Graduate School of Business. Welcome to Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Today, I'm excited to speak with Chinne Egumike. Chinne is a professional basketball player, an NBA and WNBA analyst for ESPN, and an advocate for gender equality in sports. She, along with her sister Neka, were star basketball players at Stanford. Chinne, I am thrilled to have you join me. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. This is definitely a bucket list podcast.
Shall we get started?
Yeah, let's do it.
Unlike some sports that have time for in-game planning and communication, think of like a football huddle, basketball is incredibly fast-paced. How did you manage to communicate effectively and quickly while on the go?
The cool thing about sports is that it forces you to communicate. Whether you are someone that is vocal or not, you have to be able to use your voice, find your voice. That doesn't mean you have to talk a lot. It just means that you have to communicate the important messages because we are all one team. Communication is essential when it comes to team sports, and basketball will test that because it's also a cardio sport. So, like, you have to communicate, you have to look, you have to do nonverbal cues. Like, all of that matters when it comes to trying to achieve your ultimate goal.
And would you work with your teammates to come up with some shorthand or ways of communicating more quickly or in that moment so you could perform better?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that I learned from the greatest coach I've ever played for, iconic Tara Vanderveer, is she's very big on symbols because oftentimes there's so many things in this world that can be distractions, that can be things that can be used to sort of deflect what your goal is or what you're trying to achieve. That coach Tara, she taught us symbols, 1, 2, 3, 4, or just, you know, shapes or just, movements that can be read no matter who's in the room. Whether that room is a small practice gym or Maples Pavilion. It's interesting because the best, most gratifying moments that I've had, not just in basketball, also as a broadcaster, is when you're able to work with someone, you're doing something at a high level, and you are communicating even non-verbally because it really shows you the essence of chemistry. And I found that on the court, and I've also found that in the studio.
Wow. So this notion of trust really underlies a lot of this. And it's multi-channel. It's not just the words you use. It's the symbols and the nonverbal that really matter. And working on it makes a difference. And I love that you've seen that both in your playing life, but also in your professional life. Playing professional basketball requires performing under immense pressure. I can't imagine what it feels like to shoot a free throw with thousands of people yelling and screaming. What mental strategies do you use to stay calm and focused during high-pressure situations, both when you're on the court, but also when you're on the screen or in your everyday life?
It sounds so corny, but it's true. The older I get, the more I realize that these old adages actually make sense. People are saying it for a reason, and it keeps getting passed on from generation to generation. Practice makes perfect. And I love that you brought up the free throw, because that was where I had my fear. I was very afraid as a freshman at Stanford University to shoot free throws because I wasn't great at it. But there's freedom on the other side of your fear. Meaning if you go in there and you practice and you do the repetition, a repetition of errors means it shows a lack of intelligence. Like you keep making the same mistakes, it shows that you're not capable of retaining information so that you can be better and erase those mistakes. So for me, I was like a 60% free throw shooter when I came to Stanford. And I'm not going to lie, exactly what you talked about. We'd have our, you know, Maples Pavilions just rocking. I would always tell people my hands didn't feel like my hands because I was overconscious of what I looked like, what I felt like in that moment. So what did I do? I just went during practice, after everything was done, to the corner, and I just kept shooting free throw after free throw after free throw. And now when I got to the pros, I was so confident in my free throws that people would say, "Today, you know, end of practice, it's either you make it or we have to run down and back." I'd go up there and I'd knock down my free throw. And it was a mental thing. My dad loves the mind over matter. Giving yourself that notion that I have practiced this, I am a master of this. All I have to do is do what I do, no matter the circumstance. And so that's sort of what helped me when it came to addressing situations that I felt like were bigger than me, but I knew I could meet that moment.
So taking the time to confront the fear and practice your way through it. I love that notion of there's freedom on the other side of fear, but you have to commit and do the work, and it has great payoffs. And I think a lot of people listening in have fear of speaking in front of others or standing up in high stakes situations. And there are things that we can do to practice to help, taking classes, listening to a show like this, doing Toastmaster. There are all these ways to get that practice and those reps in. Thank you for sharing that. You have had several coaches over your career. What have you noticed that great coaches do to motivate their players? And how have you taken some of those learnings into what you do when you have to motivate other people?
My mom has always had the saying that I have internalized, tiny drops of water make a mighty ocean. And when I think about great coaches and being able to address maybe fears, whether it is communication or performance, I go to that saying, and it marries with what Coach Tara, I learned by watching her for 4 years, is showing up as the same person each and every day. And that to me is the number one thing that we can do to be able to put ourselves in a position to have that growth. I think oftentimes the best things in life are things you work at over long periods of time. And so being in an environment where I have learned and watched so many great coaches show up as the same person, whether it's win or loss, approach preparation at the highest levels, and then know that you give your all, no matter what the outcome is going to be. That to me is what moves the goalposts forward inch by inch, not just throwing those Hail Mary touchdowns. It's like those incremental things that are sustainable, those tiny drops of water that builds an ocean that can change the tides of how you perceive yourself. Great people, great communicators. Anyone that's working at something, at a skill, show up as the same person each and every day and just chip away, chip away, chip away at it until the point where they turn that weakness into a strength. And then after turning that into a strength, they go on to another skill and harness that skill set to the point where you're a master.
I really like your mother's saying of the drops leading into the ocean. I think that's a really powerful metaphor for what you're talking about, which is it takes time and it takes practice, and the great coaches focus on the little things. It's not the big thing right away. It's these little steps that get you to that greatness. I do want to talk a little bit about your move into broadcasting. Broadcasting, especially sports broadcasting, is a male-dominated profession, although it is changing. How have you dealt with being part of a profession where there aren't lots of people similar to yourself? Many of our listeners can relate to not being like others that they work with in terms of age, gender, experience, et cetera. How have you handled that? And what have you done to help yourself feel more comfortable, but also help others see the value that you bring?
So the biggest challenge that I had when I just started becoming a broadcaster, and the way I sum it up is this saying, they see you before they hear you. They judge mm-hmm. you before they know you, but they still can't stop you. And being in this field, it's very similar to playing, because when I played and I miss a shot and it's on national TV, everyone saw that I missed that shot. Very similar to broadcast. If I forget a player's name or I mess up on a breakdown, everyone's going to see that. That's my voice. That's my face. But one thing I have found that I think people don't realize is perfection is overrated. Missing shots teach you how to make shots. Making mistakes teach you how to protect yourself from having those types of situations in the future. And also, I think there's this thing in communication that people don't realize. Not many people, if any, are perfect communicators. We're going to stutter. We're going to stammer. We're going to forget a name. We're going to forget a place. What you do when that happens is what defines how you are as a communicator. Those are the things where you accept your humanity. And I think that actually makes you more relatable. Being unapologetically yourself, being real, being honest. As long as you believe in it and you are prepared and you have intentions in when you are trying to communicate your message, the rest is a non-factor. And so to me, that's the biggest thing. Like, communication is not flawless. It's a learning exercise. It's something you continue to grow at. It's something you continue to master. But there's no one that is a absolute to the T perfect communicator.
At the end of the day, what you're really talking about is authenticity, right? Yeah. The bottom line is be yourself. But this notion of there is no perfect communication and stressing out over it, absolutely 100% correct. You need to come teach my class, because that's one of the biggest messages that I try to get across to my MBA students, is that there is no perfect. There's better and there's worse. But as you said, we learn from that. And what I really like is, you know, the question I asked is, you're in a space where there aren't a lot of people who have your background, have your experience, and yet you have carved out a space because of that authenticity, because of that willingness to just show up and be your best. And if that's not perfect, that's okay. Keep working at it. And I think there's a lesson in there for all of us. Now, that requires a certain degree of confidence, though. And it sounds like that confidence has built in you through your preparation, through the support system you have from your coaches, your family. I'd like to talk specifically in detail about the broadcasting you do. You, on a regular basis, are in front of large audiences. What rules and practices have you found helpful in communicating a lot of detailed information and yet making it accessible and engaging? It's fun to watch you break down a play or talk about something. But when you think about it, you're covering a whole lot of really technical information. Do you rely on particular tools or strategies to do that?
Yeah, there are a couple of strategies. And so I guess the easiest way to answer this is to give you a little bit of insight into my routine. So I typically come in to the studio earlier than most analysts, because one thing I've realized, especially as being a woman speaking on the NBA, people want to be like, oh, but what do you know? You never played in the NBA. What I do know are numbers and facts. So I love sitting down with my researchers, because they're the ones that help me substantiate my opinions. In a dream world, having my blanket opinion would be great. But one thing I've realized is people like opinion and also fact to back it up. And so I spend a lot of time with our researchers for every argument that I have, having numbers to substantiate what I'm going to say. Then I go up into the studio. And this is something that I think is very important, because a lot of times people think that, okay, I'm just going to go and talk. You have to get your mind right for what you're about to do. And so I have two things that I do. I say the serenity prayer, which is, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And then, this is just something I always do too, I say the angel of God, my guardian dear, that prayer. I say that every time I get on a flight too, just because I feel like I'm entering an environment, and I did it before every game. I did those two things before every basketball game too. Just like giving my protection in this moment to my spirituality, and also understanding that I have power to really help shape narratives that are my passions. So that's step two. So step one is research. Step two is getting my mind into the place where I can perform. And then step three is threes, actually. What I have found is that people can take information the best in threes. When you just have a blanket statement, people are looking for more. You know, LeBron James is the greatest basketball player of all time. Great. Now tell me why. Now, if you have a deluge of facts, then you might get lost in the sauce. So three key points are very easy to be retained.
So like you did as a player, there was a lot of work that went into that. I really appreciate several things you said. First and foremost, you have to have your approach and mindset down. And you found a routine that works for you to help you feel empowered and to help you feel focused. And that's critical. Again, it comes down to the repetition, the practice, the learning, the detail. And then I really like that you are mindful of how you actually structure the information. You don't just give people a deluge of information. You are very mindful of making a clear point and then supporting it, but not with too much detail. And that's, I think, a lesson for all of us, that we have to prepare ourselves mentally. We have to know our stuff, show up authentically, and then package it in a way that people can remember it and give them what they need, but not too much more. That was a great distillation of what I think makes for effective communication.
We'll be right back to finish our conversation. But first, a quick word from one of our sponsors. Their support allows us to bring you this show free of charge. When things get busy, and they always do, the real challenge is focus. Knowing where to spend your time so you actually make meaningful progress. But that's hard when you're trying to do everything yourself. That's where Upwork can help. Upwork is a one-stop platform to find, hire, and pay expert freelancers across areas like marketing, development, data and analytics, and more. It gives you fast access to specialized talent so you can move quickly, fill key gaps, and keep your work moving forward without getting stuck. You can browse profiles, review past work, and get help scoping your project so you can hire with confidence and get started faster. And if speed really matters, you can connect with top-tier talent and get matched in under 6 hours. It's a simple way to maintain momentum and focus on what matters most. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. If you think about it, a lot of our communication challenges at work aren't about what we say. They're about what never gets clearly shared in the first place, especially as teams grow and change. Processes live in people's heads. Explanations vary, and over time, that leads to confusion and inconsistency. This is exactly the problem today's sponsor, Scribe, was built to solve. Trusted by over 80,000 enterprises, including nearly half of the Fortune 500, Scribe is a workflow AI platform that captures what you're doing in real time and automatically turns it into clear, step-by-step guides. No recording, no manual write-ups. So instead of adding one more task to your to-do list, you can just do your work knowing it's being documented for others. As our team has grown, we've spent a lot of time walking people through onboarding, tool transitions, and cross-team workflows. And the reality is, we're often just too busy to stop and properly document all of it. With Scribe, you just turn on the extension, go through the process, and it builds the guide as you go. Something that might take hours or get pushed aside entirely now takes seconds. It also automatically redacts sensitive information so you can share confidently across teams, contractors, and new hires. And anyone following along gets real-time on-screen guidance. So the message isn't just sent, it's actually understood and applied. And what I really appreciate is that Scribe doesn't just document your processes, it helps you improve them by showing you where things could be more consistent, more efficient, and easier to hand off. To book a personalized enterprise demo, visit scribe.how/thinkfast. That's scribe.how/thinkfast. And now, back to our conversation.
Before we end, I like to ask all my guests three questions. One I create just for you, and the other two are similar across everybody I interview. Are you up for that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm down.
My first question is, if you had an opportunity to speak to young women, women coming out of college or of that age, starting their careers for the first time, what's one bit of advice you would give them beyond what you've talked about in terms of show up, be authentic? You know, is there something else you would share with young women who are entering the workforce or their first career?
I think it's such a unique time, and I don't take these moments for granted. And so what I would share to the rising generation of young women is that you belong, and so does your voice. I think oftentimes in society, we look at the idea of comparison being the thief of joy. Instead of staying true to your own path and being authentically yourself, to me, that's what has changed the game.
So much richness in that response. The thing that really resonated with me is that you belong and your voice matters. And I hope young women, young men, everybody listens to that and takes that advice. Question number two, who is a communicator that you admire and why?
The first person that comes to my mind is Lisa Leslie. Mm-hmm. Probably a deceptive pick or an obvious pick because I come from the world of women's basketball. But communication is not just what we say verbally. It's how you carry yourself. Mm-hmm. What are you communicating to the world? You know, I think that's one of the things that I didn't understand until I had a platform and people looked to me as someone that they could aspire to be. If I'm walking down the street, how I carry myself is communication. Mm-hmm. Just as much as me on the broadcast, just as much as me playing on the court. And so Lisa, and being able to have her as a mentor, the way she carried herself at the time, which was so huge at the genesis of the WNBA coming off of the 96 Olympics, changed the game for so many women in sports. And then on top of it, to pivot into being a mother, a sister, an entrepreneur, a broadcaster, an entertainer, just an icon. How you carry yourself matters just as much as what you say. And so I always shout her out.
Let me ask our final question. What are the first three ingredients that go into a successful communication recipe?
Preparation, authenticity, and purpose. Mm-hmm.
I love it. Preparation, which doesn't surprise me based on what you've talked about. Authenticity as well. And then having a clear purpose in mind. And certainly you are somebody who is purpose-driven. Chinne, this has been phenomenal. Thank you. Not only did you teach a lot of players lessons on the court, you teach a lot of people lessons in your broadcasting. Thank you. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. To learn more about leadership and communication from sports stars, listen to episode 166 with Andrew Luck and episode 153 with Tara Vandeveer. This episode was produced by Ryan Campos and me, Matt Abrahams. Our music is from Floyd Wonder, with thanks to Podium Podcast Company. Please find us on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to subscribe and rate us. Also, follow us on LinkedIn and Instagram. And check out fastersmarter.io for deep dive videos, English language learning content, and our newsletter. Please consider our premium offering for extended Deep Thinks episodes, Ask Matt Anythings, and much more at fastersmarter.io/premium.
Before we wrap up, I just want to say thank you for listening. It really means a lot to hear how people all over the world are using these ideas in their own lives. It inspires me and the whole team that brings you this show. If you want more episodes and resources, feel free to follow, subscribe, and explore past conversations. We're grateful for your support of Think Fast, Talk Smart.